Okay, we will now convene the November 9, 2010 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceeding. All those representatives from the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying at this morning's proceedings, please step forward and be sworn.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony about to provide the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I have reviewed the minutes of the September 21, 2010 meeting and approved them and executed them. With that, we'll proceed directly to our agenda. Case number 1345 Wilson Avenue, Roy Rob Riley, Rayfield McLeod. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent?
Good morning.
State your name, please.
It's Roy Riley. I do.
Consideration of partial waiver of reduced lien per amnesty. Okay, Madam Inspector and City Attorney, did our amnesty program automatically reduce liens that had previously been imposed?
Yes. There's a schedule of reduction on the liens based upon what their use were, the use of property at the time when the fine was imposed.
So then that means a property owner, such as the respondent here, who had a lien for a non-owner-occupied single-family residential property that exceeded $1,000, automatically came down to $1,000?
That's correct. Upon making determinations from following the application, going out and determining that that the property is in compliance and the other requirements that are in the ordinance.
So as long as they qualify for eligibility under Section 2.
That's correct.
So that lien, so having the city having satisfied itself that this respondent qualifies for the amnesty program, and then lien, I guess, is automatically reduced down to the caps that are set forth here.
That's correct.
And then the respondent has the opportunity to come and ask for even further relief due to city assistance, hardship, or special circumstances. As I understand this amnesty program, it reads, in addition, an applicant meets all the criteria of Section 2 above and demonstrates that the fines were incurred by a prior owner may apply to the special magistrate for a partial or full waiver. Okay. Doesn't really tell me what I'm supposed to take into consideration where I'd be inclined to grant a partial or full waiver. But it does say I can go on to consider the culpability of the new owner in ruling on the request. So as far as the intent of this resolution was concerned, do you have any insight you can give me as to what criteria I might use
to
determine whether or not a respondent's entitled to a partial or a full waiver?
Yes, I would think that there's an intent to show the standards similar to what are considered in assessment liens. When we look at assessment liens, and a good example would be utility liens, we look at whether there was a benefit to that this third party, or is there some special benefit that he's gained because of when he acquired the properties. And so you could be looking at things like, was he actually, he may have been living there, even though he wasn't the owner at the time, he may have been a tenant. And some of those circumstances that were a result of the noncompliance, he was a part of the noncompliance or part of the circumstance. And in that regard, looking at that aspects of culpability, or was there some special benefit already gained in the sale or the purchase of a property that may be well considered when he acquired it, that may affect a thought or a consideration as to whether or not, is it fair over and above this reduction plan that we've granted to give him, to deem it a special circumstance or special situation. Obviously, some people negotiated in their purchase, understanding that there was a $7,500 lien, and now we've given them the benefit of a $1,000 lien, and they have a preference of not wanting any lien, and may be here solely for that purpose. So those types of considerations, I think, would be reasonable considerations.
Okay. Madam Inspector, what sort of exigent circumstances are you aware of in this case that would cause me to consider any further reduction in the lien other than what's specified in black and white here in this?
Well, Mr. Riley was the mortgage holder,
right,
of the property.
Right.
Yeah, and the reason I'm asking this is we're about to have a lot of mortgage holders,
right,
come in and pile in on top of that.
Right.
And so this gentleman may be the first, but he won't be the last.
Right.
And I'm desperately looking for some sort of consistency here going forward. And I don't know that just asking for it qualifies you for it.
When this
property, and quite frankly, I don't consider mortgagors to be the least culpable people out there. Mortgagors are previous owners who retain a security interest in the property, and as part of that security interest, they also retain the right to inspect the property and satisfy itself that, or themselves, that their secured interest is being properly maintained. That means the property is being maintained. So that's a responsibility I'll be expecting these mortgagees to answer to. But in any event, in this particular case, what do you consider to be any exigent circumstances?
Can I speak to the at the moment?
Are these photographs of the property?
Yes.
Is this a before photograph?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had it demolished.
Great. Not great. Well, better than that.
I'm the mortgage holder. I was the mortgage holder, but I wasn't the previous owner.
So this property was in extremely bad repair, had mm-hmm. been for a number of years. We've been working with it for a number of years trying to get repairs made to it. The person that owned it would never respond, would never do anything. When this gentleman took the mortgage back, got the property back, immediately contacted me about the lien, what was going on with the property, and it's been demolished. Saw them taken care of. However, it was a serious problem for a number of years.
All right, what's the respondent?
I took title to the property in August of 2010. Like I said, I was the mortgage holder. I was not the previous owner. As soon as I found out that there was a lien against the property, I immediately called the city, and then I had it demolished right away.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and grant the reduction that's been requested, and I hate thinking out loud, but since we're at the front end of what I'm going to assume are going to be a lot of these, the reason I'm granting is because I am more than satisfied with the respondent's efforts. Once he got control of the property back, I'm more than satisfied that he went above and, or he did what was necessary and did it promptly to rectify the situation. So consequently, I can't, I'm not allocating any of the previous owner's fault, if you will, to the mortgage holder. And in fact, I'm happy that he did what he did. And with that, he's deserving of his reduction. So what am I doing? Reducing the lien to the sum of $250? Is that what's been requested?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll go ahead and grant the respondent's request that the lien be reduced to the sum of $250.
Okay.
Is this all still subject to being paid within 30 days?
I'm going to pay it now. I'll pay it right now. I'll go ahead and pay it right now.
In the past, when we reduce liens, we give property owners 30 days to do it, and if they fail to do it, it reverts back to where it was. I just don't know if under this new program that's still going to be the protocol.
Mr. Calvert, I hadn't considered that the standard there, and John, do you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, this is the only one we have today, and this gentleman seems willing to go ahead and pay it, so I'll just go ahead and say that's good for 30 days.
Okay.
And if it's not paid within 30 days, then the lien reverts back to the amount. And if you should have any problem getting that payment made within those 30 days, if you'll speak to the city, they'll be happy to work with you.
Who do I pay? Okay.
You've already paid the $50 application.
Right.
He has already made a $50 payment.
Which was applies to his to reduction. So he only owes $200, but you also have a $10 fee that's not recorded fee, which is not an amnesty element. So
right.
This is still
there. So I didn't know if that would be included.
It's not an amnesty element. Well, you're out of luck. I just told him it was reduced to $250.
Okay.
So I guess the city's going to need that $10.
Okay.
Where does he go to make payment?
He would need an invoice, actually, to take with him to be able to process it for the cashiers, and I prepare the invoices. So I can email you one probably tomorrow, the next day.
Okay.
Okay, please bear with us. You're the, the first.
Do you have my email address?
I believe so. Did I email you the agenda?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay, bye.
Case number two. I'm sorry. Continued case number one. Halifax Wrecking Company Incorporated and Robert Plank.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're here for amnesty. Sorry. I doubt it.
Okay. All right. I have this matter here for the imposition of a fine, so let's go to our inspector. Mr. Inspector, why should I consider imposition of a fine?
Mr. Papelja, I'm just standing in for Danny Garcia. He's out today. This case, he just inherited this case, so the city would like to ask that this be amended to the December hearing.
Your Honor, go ahead. You can if you want. That's fine. Mr. Go ahead. I'll be quiet. It's hard for me.
Oh, I'm on microphone. Sorry. They need to get me a mic up here. Ms. Vakelja, as you may recall, this case was... whose case was this?
Kish. Right?
Rob Kish.
And Mr. Kish retired last month or recently. And so the inspectors have inherited his cases. Mr. Kish has been following this case through. I've gone out to the site with him with some of the follow-ups. The follow-up prior to the most recent hearing, there was some substantial work done. I've spoken with Mr. Hughes, and he's left me satisfied that they've still been working on the south property. Mr. Kish and I have talked about it in the past, and we were both encouraged by the amount of progress they were making. Based on my conversation with Mr. Hughes on yesterday, I'm satisfied and convinced that they are going to continue to work towards getting the south property completed as they have certain plans that they're working on, and ask Mr. Hughes if he would explain those to you so you can consider them, but the staff is more than willing to continue that case. That's the one that's up for consideration of a fine, specifically regarding the need for the new inspector to go out and be able to observe progress and know what's going on in the case, since this is such a substantial case and from the regards of the amount of work that had to be done and the amount of stuff that had to be accomplished. As to the north property, you may recall, we have been continuing that property, and primarily it's been continued with Mr. Hughes' desire to try and preserve possible arguments related to grandfathering or those types of aspects. And he's indicated to me a desire to continue that. They're working on an aspect of a solution. It's not specifically with the city services yet, but it is a solution that I'm familiar with, and I asked them to explain that to you as well. So we're happy to hear from Mr. Hughes and make sure he explains it to you so that we have a record of where they're going with the project. But I think at this point, what we've seen up to this point shows that they have been taking serious the effort to try and get it
under control.
Okay. Case number one here, 01-10-12-13-14-17. You familiar with those cases?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It looks like we've got four or five cases consolidated in there.
Yes, and I made that reference to the north properties and the south properties because that was kind of our easy reference.
I believe that those are the southerly properties.
Okay. These are the properties that are here for the imposition of a fine.
Right.
Okay.
Then they are definitely the southerly properties.
All right. And the next case I have then would be the northerly properties?
That would be correct.
All right. And do the southerly and the northerly properties as described herein constitute all the properties that we're dealing with regard to Halifax Wrecking Company?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. Then I'm going to sit back and why don't you explain to me what I'd like to know is what these properties are, what they do, what the gripe is, what you've done. I just want an overview so that I can start to comprehend what's going on here because every time I've seen these things, quite frankly, my eyes have glazed over and I've put off the need to educate myself. But let me go ahead and do it now.
Okay.
So how southerly properties, just give me a two-minute dissertation on the history, what has to be done and what we've done and what's left to be done.
The southerly properties were used for there are numerous violations which were cited against the properties, fencing issues and some other issues. Those are very minor and those have been corrected. The southerly properties.
Now, fencing issues as in were lacking fencing?
Or fencing, they were in disrepair.
The stuff is extending above.
No, they're in disrepair. You know, they're leaning over, right. Not properly fenced. You know, numbers weren't on buildings, painting wasn't done on buildings. Those things were all corrected. The main issues that we had, we were restoring. Probably at the time this on the southerly properties, probably at the time that this action started, there was probably about 200 to 240 dumpsters on the property. There was numerous items of tractors that were in disrepair, trucks that were in disrepair, trailers that were in disrepair. There was probably 100 concrete floating docks on the property. There was a substantial amount of property and material being stored on the southerly property. What we have done since this action has started, about 90% to 95% of those items have been removed. I was on the property yesterday. In addition to all that, there was piles of debris, dirt, fill scattered about the property and just piled up. And what was happening is Mr. Klenk was taking, you know, garbage dumps or dumpsters, putting them on that site, and then when he could afford to bring them to the landfill, he would bring them to the landfill, as I understand it. At present, 95% of that material has been removed. There's a pile of dirt that's about 60 loads of dirt that are on the property. That dirt is clean fill, is designated for, apparently there's a house being demolished on Beach Street that Halifax Wrecking is under contract to do, permit is applied for. Once a permit is received and property house demolished, they'll use that 60 yards of fill or loads of fill to fill that in. There's approximately 20 to 25 dumpsters that remain on the property. We're going to need a little bit more time to get rid of those dumpsters. There's about five trailers. When I talk about trailers, there would be the trailers that would be towed behind the truck that are on the property now. In speaking with my client, those are used to store used building materials. Now, Mr. Klenk has purchased an additional building in the vicinity. It's an old Dunn building, which is a warehouse facility. It's his intent to open up a new business at that facility, which will be involved in the sale of new and used construction material. The building needs some renovation, including a new roof. Now, Mr. Klenk has received one estimate for a new roof. Another one is expected. Once he accepts one of the estimates, he'll make the application for a new roof. The new roof will be installed. He'll make the appropriate application for a business license to run a business for the sale and purchase of new and used construction material. So then that material would be moved to that new site. The concrete floating docks, they have been substantially removed. There's a grading process now where they're grinding down the concrete so that they can separate the concrete from other material that would have to be discarded. They have chips is accepting the concrete at no charge, and then the other material is being disposed of. So that's a process that's ongoing. This has not been easy. It's been quite expensive to Mr. Klank, and we're about 90 to 95% complete. This case was initially before the before Your Honor, I believe the first or second week of January 2010. This business had been in the ongoing for approximately 32 years, and this has been a process that we've gone a long way on. So we're asking for an additional 3 months before fines be imposed. We have made substantial progress. I don't believe the officer has current photos, but I can represent to the court that I was out there yesterday and the progress is substantial. We were here about 2 months ago, and Mr. Jackson and Mr. Gish both commented that we had made substantial progress and we're satisfied.
Then procedurally, where are we right now? It sounds as though the city is acknowledging progress is being made.
That's correct, Mr. Fekelje. One thing I do need to say, though, and just as a fill gap so that you'll have the whole story, with the South properties, and you'd asked about the fencing situation, the dynamics of the setup there with, if you're not familiar with Halifax Wrecking, it's that it's along the railroad, which, has that industrial feel, but it's also just next to this residential area. And so where they had the dumpsters and all those things, so it was a major problem of complaints from the residents, rats, and so forth because of the storage. And that was kind of what triggered this new major effort to try and get something done. There was a perspective from the city that was really something, they were developing a property without any approvals, and although it had been going on for some time period, we worked with this and on this for a number of years back and forth in various ways. The project that he's working on now, Mr. Klink is working on with the Dunn property, is a project that he had made some suggestions of a number of years ago. The opportunity to obtain that property back then was not readily available to him. So now that is available to him, and whether he can actually get the project, taken done and going forward, we'll have to see. But it will require, and I know it did require then, I think it required the Redevelopment Board approval, if I remember right. The Midtown Redevelopment Board had to have some elements of approval on whatever was happening with that project initially. And so they'll have some developmental things. So I'm talking north and south. The south, that was the dynamics, the fencing and the whole conditions. The north, it's probably going to be, I don't know if he gave a time period, but there's going to be some element of having to get city approvals and everything else as they continue to move forward.
Can I make one more comment? Mr. Jackson had indicated that the dumpsters were an issue because of the neighborhood community. Mr. Klank has moved the dumpsters, so they're primarily stocked. The ones that are remaining are stored against the railroad and not close to where the residences are. We recognize the neighborhood community, so we put it on the industrial side as opposed to the neighborhood side.
Okay. You're indicating another 3 months and you may be done. Let's say the city.
I don't think Inspector Garcia would have a problem with that.
All right, well, and I'm not here to give stuff away. I mean, if you just want to continue the matter until somebody...
He just needs to familiarize himself with the case. He, like I said, Rob Kish retired, and now Denny inherited this case. So,
I can drive my truck on the property now, where before I'd have difficulty.
I'd like to ask for a progress report, say, in January, and a compliance date by February.
Right.
I think that would encompass everybody's.
I don't have an objection to that. I would suggest that maybe someone from the city go out and take some photographs now so we can actually gauge what the progress is. You can just as a practical matter, and then, next time we're here before the magistrate, we could say, well, okay, this is where we were in November, and this is where we are now. Because I do tend to think we're making substantial progress.
All right, well then let's do this. I will go ahead and amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until February 2, 2011 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter, and further order that we will have a progress report on the January 11, 2011 meeting. And at that point in time, we will hear of our progress, and if anything out of the ordinary has occurred that might cause us to revisit what we're doing, then we'll take that into consideration at that time. All right? So your new compliance date's February 2, 2011, and we're going to have a progress report on January 11th of 2011. That's case number one. Those were the southerly parcels. Now, describe to me what the northerly parcels are.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
That's all right. I thought we were done.
Okay.
We'll wait till that.
Okay. On the northerly properties, this is a property that's situated on Marion Street, and it's several parcels. It's a large parcel of land, and that's where Mr. Klank had conducted most of his business operations. That property has been his business enterprise for approximately 32 years. Just to give you an overview, so you'll because I think you'll want the similar overview that I gave you with regard to the southerly properties as to the northerly property. There's an actual office building that's located there where they conduct their operations, receive orders. Immediately south of the office building is a fenced-in area that's probably, I'm guesstimating, but it's going to be about 300 feet by maybe 150 feet, and then circle back at it. This property similarly comes up against the railroad tracks. Across the street is a warehouse facility, which used to be the Burke Building, where I think they made some suntan lotion and stuff like that.
Native tan.
Now, this property was cited for fencing issues, painting issues. There was also a dilapidated structure which needed a new roof and certain improvements. We've completed the cosmetic issues. The fencing issue has been completed. The building has been refurbished. The building has a brand new roof on it. Permits were pulled, and the city has been satisfied with that. There are stored on that property. There's some debris piles. There's some dumpsters, and there's some equipment and some vehicles that are on the property that are not registered. It has been material that's there and the equipment that's there is intended by Mr. Klank to be used in a recycle facility. Mr. Klank has been in negotiation with Mr. Burke, who owns the Native Tan, or used to own the Native Tan building, to purchase that building, and he was going to establish a recycle facility. So he's been obtaining this recycle equipment for the purpose of putting it into the Burke building. The property was foreclosed upon, the Burke Building was foreclosed upon by a mortgage holder, I believe his name is Stephen Baker, up in North Carolina. Stephen Baker apparently filed bankruptcy. Mr. Klank had entered into a contract first with Mr. Burke, then with Mr. Baker, and now he's negotiating with the trustee in bankruptcy, and I believe that they are relatively close to having a deal consummated. I've heard prices, and I've seen a draft of a contract, but I don't believe that contract has been executed yet. But it's the intent of Mr. Klank to acquire that building and then establish a recycle business, which will allow him to transfer the matters which create the non-compliance on the northerly property will be resolved by incorporating not the non-compliance, but they will be in compliance once we establish an operating business in the Native Tan building. With that being said, I don't believe there's a contract in place, but Mr. Klank has applied for SBA financing. He's advised me. He advised me that he's been preliminary approved. This will be a closing that may take more than 3 months to accomplish and then to make the renovations to the building necessary to have a recycle facility. But Mr. Jackson and I have discussed that there are significant legal issues involving this particular case on the northerly property. It is the intent of the city, as I would understand it, to have the property come into compliance in a reasonable manner. So we're asking that a hearing to determine the compliance or non-compliance be deferred at least an additional 90 days while we continue our efforts to relocate Mr. Klank's business across the street and bring it in compliance. A lot of the issues that the city is raising is we have outside storage of vehicles, outside storage of materials. Those things will all be resolved by moving the operations to the warehouse facilities that we're attempting to acquire.
What's the significance of the compliance finding?
Because I don't want to waive arguments that I otherwise would. I could spend a lot of Mr. Klang's money now in preparing for an evidentiary hearing to determine compliance or noncompliance, or he can direct those efforts into acquiring the building and renovating that property. It's a complicated case. He's been in business for over 32 years at this location.
Okay, what say the city?
They said, I'm sorry, I missed.
Yeah, 90 days.
He asked for a 90-day continuance of the hearing on the determination of compliance or noncompliance. He's indicated that he would require a lengthy evidentiary hearing were the city wanting to go forward with the issue of that determination. And he is suggesting that they are making all these renovations and going to be doing all this cool stuff, and when it's all said and done, it's going to look great, and all this will be moot.
That's my hope. But, Your Honor, we also have made progress on this property, too. This property, when we started this thing back in January, there was a lot more material.
Understand.
So we have made progress. And we haven't taken the stuff from the southerly property and put it on the northerly property.
Well, the inspector's indicating, I think it's a good idea. If we don't have a follow with the 90 days, or at least the same time period, so that we just continue to follow these cases together. The reality is I agree, we can do the, what he believes will be a hard, long, difficult evidentiary, you know, in a next month, or we can do it 3 months from now, we can do it 5 months from now. The reality is that if Mr. Clinton is able to pull off what he's trying to do here in terms of accomplish what he's trying to do with those properties, it's probably more than a year out before it'll be completed, maybe a year and a half, I would guess. I know that, quite honestly, I've been in the dynamics with that specific property for at least 10 of the 12 years that I've been here with Mr. Clinton. And it's very ambitious, and it's a good plan, and if it's something that can be done, it's an indoor facility would satisfy many of the problems, or in fact, probably every concern that they have over there. That current site is not as much, does not impact the residential area like the southern site does, because it's surrounded by the properties that he described. So what's happening there... I can't speak for...
So as a sign of good faith to this ongoing effort that the respondent has undertaken to try to recast recycling, as we know it, in this particular community, we'll go ahead and indulge them and allow them to have 90 days before we make the determination of compliance or noncompliance, in the hopes that his dreams of the ultimate recycling facility are actually going to come to fruition.
That's pretty much what I'm saying. Now, one thing I do want to add to that, though, is that the ultimate inspector that will be involved in this case, and I'm sure the inspector that was involved before, a lot of what we're dealing with has arisen through complaints that have gone to commissioners and chief administration in the city. So we don't really know what the future perspective is as we drive getting this result.
Those usually are the last of my concerns and considerations. But that having been said, I mean... The respondent and you have indicated with regard to the northerly property that the residents are sort of insulated by geography from the things that are causing all the hardship. So I'm assuming we're not ignoring them, we're just taking into consideration the lay of the land.
Well, I've overlooked that. I did have the availability of some city input from Mr. Bryant, who is, I don't know what the title is anymore, but over with redevelopment. And specifically in that area, and I think you wanted to offer some input, so if he could be sworn in.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony about to provide, that you're going to hold truth and nothing
but the
truth?
I do.
Yes.
Can
you
just
step up to the mic
and state your name, please? Yes. Your Honor, Charles Bryant, Redevelopment Project Manager. I just wanted to be noted for the record that I've been called to the Marion Street address on different occasions about those dumpsters that are out there. It's also been noted that several times over the weekend and the last month, that those dumpsters have been on fire, and the fire department had to go out and actually put them out on different occasions. I have pictures. I didn't bring them with me today, but I do have pictures back in my office where those dumpsters have been smoking. I met with the fire marshal on site that they had to go out and physically bring fire trucks out and put out those dumpsters on different occasions. We've got notification from the residents or those of that particular area, and I wanted to note it in case something happens that, you know, we do have it in the record that this has been a problem at with the dumpsters in that area, because they bring them in from sites that where they've been doing work. They bring them in. I don't know how the dumpsters catch on fire, but they've been catching on fire because we have documentation from the fire department, and like I say, I do have pictures.
All right, well, let's hang on a second. So are these the dumpsters that have now been moved from one side of the property toward the tracks?
I'm not going to answer the question. If we could have Mr. Honer be sworn in, and he'll address it, because... Gil, sir?
My name is Andrew Honer. I'm CEO of Halifax Wrecking. For 10 years, plus 12 years, I've been working with this client towards this recycling effort. In regard to the Silverly properties, his attempt to clean those properties and get them into compliance has given him financial difficulty in order to be able to hire the people to do that. One of the problems on that property was the docks. He had received, and there still are some, which he's trying to remove. They're floating docks that have styrofoam.
I don't need to be rude.
No.
Let me cut you off. Okay, we've made a heck of a lot more progress, so let me just ask you this. He's complaining about dumpsters.
Yes.
I thought dumpsters had been moved from
they have.
The property to the other.
I have to clarify one thing. I'll make it short, and that is this. In the putting the docks in the dumpsters, the torching, the separating of it, one dumpster caught on fire on one weekend because some wood had caught the styrofoam on fire.
Right.
It's not a common thing, so he made it a substantial progress. It's not an issue.
All right, so he raised concerns about dumpsters. We talked about the fire.
Yes.
All right, and what else was it? Was that it? Okay, now, let me just lecture you here for a second.
Yes.
I don't mind. I understand this is an ambitious undertaking. I understand it's been in the works for a long time. I've actually sat with Mr. Klenk as he told me one time about his grandiose plans of, you know, recycling all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
And I hope it all comes to fruition. I'm being serious when I say that. You've asked for time. I've given you time. The one thing the respondent needs to keep in mind when I give you the time is you got to kiss some serious butt in that neighborhood to keep those people satisfied.
Agreed.
Okay, that's all there is to it. Because my graciousness when it comes to allowing you time, no matter how ambitious and well-intended your project may be, is going to evaporate like that. If I got a bunch of residents saying you're just trampling all over them and ignoring them, I'm not suggesting you are. I'm lecturing you.
Clearly understood.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
No, sir.
All right. So with regard to case number 2, we will continue the determination of compliance or noncompliance to the February 8, 2011 meeting. Are we good?
Thank yes, sir. Have a great day.
This is your new inspector, Danny Garcia.
Okay.
This is his contact phone number.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Case number 3, Fran J. Lassiter.
Good morning. Tim Hassler. Yes.
Mr. Hess, your affiliation with the respondent?
I'm Hassler, Tim Hassler. I work for Fran Lassiter.
Okay, so you have authority to speak on this?
Yes, I do.
All right. Okay, 314 Cottrell Avenue. This is here for imposition of a fine. An order of compliance, an amended order of noncompliance. Okay, what say the city?
It's because of the last time we visited this property, there were a few issues that still needed to be resolved. He had replaced some windows with plexiglass. I advised him that plexiglass was an approved material, And the material for the glass is left, and also the rental inspection.
And also the what?
Rental inspection for the occupational license. There's actually two structures on that property, and I'm assuming one structure has passed and one has failed, so it still needs a reinspection on that second one in order for a rental license and the replacing of the material for the windows.
All right. So
that is what's outstanding right now.
Is the respondent making an effort to come into compliance?
I'm sorry. To this point, yes.
Okay.
So slow going. We've had to nudge them a little bit, but they're almost there.
And how much longer should it take to finish the job?
It really should be done by the next cutoff.
And the next cutoff for everyone's information would be December 8, 2010.
Correct.
Okay, let's say the respondent. Inspector says you've been doing work. It's been a little slow in coming, but you're almost done, and he thinks you ought to be able to have it wrapped up by December 8 of 2010. What say you?
Yes, sir. Our position is that we are in compliance.
Okay.
All items on that property for 314 Cottrell have been completed, including the issuance of a rental license.
All right. Well, then all you need to do is offer an inspection.
And we already have had it, and it's been finaled. What the city did was went a step forward and included the property behind it, which is a separate address, 312 Cottrell. In that situation, I had the rental inspection performed, and they created a list for us. And in that list, I had to repair some electrical, do some electric work, and some fire blocking. I've had permits issued. We've completed the work. I've had final inspections. All I have is an open rental list that has some minor items. Now, this is another property. It's not the same property. And our position is that we are in compliance right now.
All right. Well, what's the status on 312?
I have one more inspection to get for the fire blocking, and then I'll be in compliance. I'm sorry. Then I have to have a reinspection for the rental division.
All right. And when do you expect to have that done?
Probably in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. All right, Mr. Inspector. The respondent's indicating to me he's already done the 314 Cottrell and you. And the 312 is a separate issue. What say the city?
Put in a reinspection. I'm willing to continue this until December 8th. You want to get with me and schedule a reinspection? I can come out there and do that.
Okay. Now, reinspection on the 314?
The front structure.
Okay. Can we address the issue of the windows while we're here?
Sure.
Because that wasn't on the list. Do you want to create a separate?
The actual violation was the repairing of broken windows.
Okay.
Fortunately, you repaired the broken windows.
And I had a final inspection by the building department.
Hey, I'm going to grab a little executive power by the horns here.
Okay.
And I'm just going to tell you, I want everything on 314 Cottrell in compliance by December 8 of 2010, or the respondent be returned here for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. So let's get 314 and 312 in compliance by December 8, 2010. I understand your argument that 312 is not part of it, and if some circumstance arises and 312 can't be in compliance by then, I'll hear you on that with regard to additional time.
Okay.
But while we're here, we're just going to go ahead and take care of business and get them both done.
Okay.
So the inspection for 314, I guess, will take place whenever you want, and then you'll call for your inspection on 312, and be in compliance by December 8th. Like I say, you tell me 314 is done. So if 312 lags on for reasons beyond your control, let the inspector know that. We'll see if you need additional time. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Case number 4, Conk House Ocean Waters LLC is in compliance. Case number 5, Robert B. Irving. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
I have been contacted by Mr. Irving. He's requesting a continuance. He's requesting a continuance until the December hearing.
He is requesting continuance until the December hearing. I have been in contact. City building inspector has been out to the property. There's still a few items left to be corrected, so they can.
Are these pictures of the property?
These are pictures of the actual violations that have been corrected at this point. The newest picture is the one with the privacy fence on it. There's still a few items left on the punch list for the occupational license, and that's the only thing that's holding up his compliance.
All right. So what is it you're asking me to do? Continue the imposition of the fine to the next meeting?
Yes.
Okay. And is the respondent making an effort to come into compliance in the interim?
Yes, he is. He's got some issues with his rental license, but yes, he is.
All right. Well, based on our inspector's report, I'll go ahead and continue this matter to our December 14, 2010 meeting. Case number 6, Daniel Chambers is in compliance. Case number 7. Binky Geneva Pickney as court-appointed guardian for James Pickney, a minor child. I'm here on behalf of the respondent. What's the city?
Mr. Picuzzi, this case has actually evolved. Everything is in compliance except for the exterior wall. They have been in contact with community development. They're actually in a Midtown redevelopment area. However, they have asked is if they can actually repair the wall themselves without having it professionally done. I told them to get with permits and licensing to get that answer. So, again, they're asking for some more time as well. So I will give them just until the December cutoff.
All right. Based upon our inspector's report, I'll amend our pending or current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until December 8, 2010 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 8 is in compliance. Case number 9, Lowland LLC.
Compliance is of 11-8.
Case number 10, Federal National Mortgage Association.
I have properties in non-compliance. Next cutoff.
All right. Not seeing a respondent. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by December 8, 2010 or be returned to the special magistrate. This is one of these occupational license things?
Yes.
Or the, is this the $250 one or imposition of the $250 administrative fee?
Yeah.
Okay. Case number 11, David Walker. What say the city?
Ultimately, it's non-compliance. We've been here 3 other times on the same property for the same work. I started this case way back in 2008, March 25th, and that's the way it started, and that's the way it looks right now. He's had 2 permits. They both expired. There's been no progress. I've issued a stop work order for this last permit expiring, and nothing. No progress, no contact. He has received my notices because I've physically seen him remove them from the property.
Not seeing a respondent. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent being non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by when?
12-8, and I will be asking for a will fine then.
By December 8, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 12, Stamenko and Dusanka Angelov.
Good morning.
Morning.
Just a moment for the inspector.
Stamenko, S-T-A-M-E-N-K-O. Last name, Angelo.
Make sure you speak into the microphone, please.
Okay.
You raise your right hand. You solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. The nature of violation, as I have it, is building needs to be repaired to city standards, poorly maintained house, paint, trim, remove loose coverings, damaged encapsulates loose putty and or deteriorated plaster, peeling paint, or stairways. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
I do.
I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
He's been working on the property now for about a week.
A week.
And the paint color's been approved. He's painting it, and he's going to be bringing it up, I figure, about 30 days.
Absolutely.
Next cutoff.
Very good. Next cutoff would mean the December 8, 2010. You
absolutely.
Get it done by then?
Absolutely. Even all before
right,
that. Yeah.
I'll go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by December 8, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Don't forget to call for your final inspection, and if something arises
talking.
And you're not able to get it done by then, but
right.
be sure to let your inspector know
right
away.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Looking good. That's you're doing a good job.
Case number 13.
Thank you.
Case number 13 is in compliance. Case number 14 is in compliance. Case number 15, Matthew Jones and Anna Alastra.
Hi, I'm attorney Jacqueline Alastra on behalf of Anna Alastra and Matthew Jones, and I also have property owner Anna Alastra, and she may testify. So.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you state your name, please?
Anna Alastra.
Okay. And I'm sorry, your name again?
Jacqueline Alastra.
Okay. And you're an attorney?
Yes.
Okay, counsel, does your client agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
No, they are not in agreement.
Okay. All right, Mr. Inspector, the nature of the non-conforming use I have is utilizing a single-family house as multi-family.
The respondent
apparently disputes the allegation.
Okay. That's the rear building. It has an apartment downstairs and an apartment upstairs. Do you all agree with that?
Hey, that's not our property.
37, yeah, watch when the picture comes up.
I think that's the next door neighbor's property. That's really not our property.
All right.
That's not our property at all.
That's what came up on the computer. But. Okay.
If that's a neighbor's, it's the same.
This is the garage I'm talking about, which is right there in the back.
It's the neighbor's. They look identical, but that's not ours.
Okay, but it has this garage that was turned into an apartment, and the apartment above it. Do you agree?
It's not a garage that was turned into an apartment. No, I don't agree with that.
Okay, hang on one second. 37 North Peninsula, who owns it?
My husband and I.
Your husband and you. Is this 37 North Peninsula?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this 37 North Peninsula consists of two buildings, a
yes.
front building and a back building?
Yes.
Okay, so we are dealing with the same property here.
Yes.
All right, go ahead, Mr.
Okay.
Carter.
In the back building, are there apartments?
They're not being used as an apartment. There's a first floor and a second floor, but they're not being used.
Is there a kitchen, apartment, a bathroom?
The bottom floor, no, there's not. The top floor, there is.
Has a kitchen and a bathroom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes it a duplex. What you purchased was a single family. And you need to find out from permits and licensing how to turn that into in-law quarters is what it needs to be.
Okay, well, let's back up for a moment. And since I'm here, let me ask a few questions. Okay, so I assume the allegation is that she is improperly utilizing a garage structure
yeah.
as a living facility.
Now, it used to be a triplex or a duplex. And then it went into foreclosure. It was closed up for 2 years.
Okay.
It lost its non-conforming
status.
They purchased it as a single family.
Okay.
And my point to them when I stopped by, they were doing some work on the bottom and doing some work on the top, and I explained to them that now that it's a single family house, you need to go to permits and licensing and ask them what they need to do to turn that into in-law quarters, not into an apartment.
Okay. Because what makes it a living facility right now is?
The kitchen.
Okay. So if they remove the kitchen, that would it's no longer a living facility.
That's correct. It would be a
one of utilize course. It as a living facility, then they need to go get?
Variance from zoning.
Variance from zoning. Okay. Y'all understanding what we're talking about here?
We understand. If I could just provide a little background,
right,
we just and reasons for time. They bought this property in February. It was advertised by the realtor and the broker as a multifamily triplex. It's still listed in the Volusia County Property Appraisers as a multifamily triplex. So it was advertised as an investment property. It's their first investment property. They put their life savings into it, and a couple months later, they get the surprise that it's a single-family property. So we have we are commencing a lawsuit against the realtor, the broker, and the bank for misrepresentation. They don't want to put any more money into the property. They have not used it as a multifamily. Once they heard that it was a single family, they took the for rent sign, which they were told to take out of the property. Mm-hmm. They only rented it out, only the front part, just to one family, so it is only in single-family use. They have not done anything with the back property. It's not, as I understand it, it's not in danger. It's not, you know, in disrepair. It's just there for now. They would like to rescind the contract, and that's what they're in the motions of doing before they put any more money into the property. And as I said, it's being only used as a single-family currently. And that's their position, that they would like to just keep it as it is, rent it out to the family, and meanwhile try to rescind the contract, and they've already retained a lawyer to do so.
All right, let's say the city.
The city still feels that, I mean, discuss it.
Mr. Kelton, here's our problem. And maybe it's something you've done before. I don't know what the time period will be for them to get this all resolved. And unfortunately, the situation that the city's left in is that this violation is a violation because of what the potential was left available to do, not because of what's actually being done. And as long as it's physically set up as an apartment, we're left with the only way to enforce is to not allow it to be set up as an apartment. You know, if you feel you can rely on assurances, that's not for us to decide. We're not going to take the position of the assurances. All we know is our circumstance at the moment is that we have a single family home that's set up as a multifamily, and understandably they thought it was going to be utilized that way, and it has the potential and the means to be utilized that way until it's modified in accordance with the code requirements.
Okay.
I'd also like to amend, now that I looked to see if the water was, if it was in your same last name, so I didn't know it was rented, but you need to obtain a rental license then from the city also, and I'd like to amend and add that.
Okay. Is it your desire to try to keep it as a duplex, or is it your desire to try to undo the transaction? Or both?
Both? I mean, I would like to undo the transaction if we can't use it as a duplex.
Okay. Well, it's not uncommon for older properties to change hands, and of course, a lot of these properties have been converted, mostly illegally, into multifamily places. And as they're found, they're weeded out. That doesn't sound very good for you. I don't know to what extent the Board of Adjustment grants any leniency when it comes to the allowance of these multifamily properties once they're found. I don't know. But you certainly have that right to petition them if you want to ask them, you know, for a variance to allow you to use that. So if it's your intent to fight to keep it the way it was told you it was, then you can go before the Board of Adjustments. The only reason I mention that is not that I'm here to advise you as to what to do, But that takes time, and we always allow respondents time to exhaust whatever administrative remedies may be available to them before we go telling them to start tearing their properties apart. So that's the Board of Adjustment route. The rescission route, that's a legal action. That really doesn't affect the city one way or the other. What the attorney is referring to here is as long as that place is set up to be a residential facility, then it's the potential is there for it to be used illegally. So if the city had its druthers, that kitchen would be gone yesterday. Now, I don't know that I'm going to order you to do that because you do have administrative remedies available to you that could culminate in you keeping that kitchen there. And so consequently, I'm not going to make you divest yourself of anything on your property. So that having been said, unfortunately, I don't know enough about the Board of Adjustments to know whether they look kindly on these applications or not. I don't practice in front of them. It's been a long time since I did any land use work. So the question becomes, what are your intentions with regard to the property? If you want to explore the prospect of going before the Board of Adjustment, do we know when the next application for them would be?
No, sir. I think it's going to be towards the end of the month.
If you want to explore that, then I will continue this for a month, and you can then come back and declare, so to speak, as far as what your intentions are. And if it's, you know, we looked into it, we've been told it's a snowflake's chance and you know where, so it ain't going to happen, so we're left with the rescission route, then we'll talk about how much time you may reasonably require to come into compliance, which will mean the removal of the kitchen. If, on the other hand, it's like, no, I think we've got a pretty decent shot of getting our duplex, you know, back, and we've consulted somebody, and that's the route we're going to go, then as long as you're actively pursuing that, then I will allow time for that process to take it, to run its course. All right, so all that having been said, I'm inclined to continue this to the December 14th meeting to allow you time to figure out what you're doing and then come back and tell me. What do you say to that? Good, bad, or indifferent?
No, we agree.
Okay.
So that we're continuing the finding of non-compliance.
Well, there's nothing to keep you confined in the non-compliance.
I would say, I think that we can make that.
Does the finding of noncompliance in any way prejudice them when it comes to their application for variance in the Board of Adjustment?
Not
I would think it almost be a prerequisite.
It would have probably. I mean, it's part of the hardship, and they're going to have to be able to articulate a hardship. Time period wise, the Board of Adjustment meets the Thursday, so they won't be able to get to the Board of Adjustment before we meet again, but they can't get an application in and have all information. I think the application deadline is like the last week of the month or something like that. So at least I know it's within the last 10 days of the month.
All right, based on what I've been told, I'm going to go ahead and find the respondent in noncompliance. It's the existence of the kitchen that puts you in noncompliance. I am continuing any determination regarding the compliance date pending the December 14, 2010 meeting, at which time I'll hear from the respondent as far as what their intentions are going forward. And if it's their intent to go forward with to take an appeal to the Board of Adjustments to try to get a variance to continue to use this as a duplex, then hopefully you'll tell me you've already applied and when the meeting's expected, and I'll take that into consideration when it comes to talking about time. If, on the other hand, it's no, we've looked into it, it's a waste of time, or we're not going to do it for one reason or another, and so be it. Then at that point, we'll be talking about how much time it's going to take to remove whatever essentials have to be removed to disqualify it as a living unit.
Also, the 290-297A, which is rental license. Since they stated that they were
going to rent the property, you have to have a rental license.
Okay.
And that's.
I guess the question there is, and maybe the question is that right now, the inspector, or we feel that the inspector has orally amended the notice of violation to include the rental ARC license. Now, we realize that orally amending it here doesn't really give them the reasonable time.
It doesn't matter. They're going to go take care of it right now.
Okay, so I didn't know if that's all part of
the violation. You know what he's talking about?
Yes.
What is it? How much is the license?
I don't
know. 60?
Yeah, about 60.
You've got to have a license if you're going to rent anything.
It's right downstairs in permits.
I will take care of that.
They're going to take care of that, so we don't have to worry about amending anything.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Good luck to you. We'll see you December 14th.
Thank you.
All right, and now I have, lest I forget, case number 16, Arlene Warwick, 1317 North Halifax Avenue.
Are you sure you're not code for?
37, that was probably code for.
No, I'm 38.
38 South Grandview, but it's not, it's Thursday. Did someone tell you to come here?
Yeah. It's all right if you say I'm good, I won't come back.
Yeah, you don't even need to come back to the Thursday one. I'm going to, you've
done.
Got your permit, you've done a lot of work.
Okay.
Is it progress report?
Progress report for 38, it's Thursday, right?
I believe they asked for.
Yeah, you misread the notice. Sorry.
All right.
And don't come Thursday, though.
I won't.
I'll take care of it. Feel better.
Thanks.
Okay, Arlene Warwick. Imposition of a fine. All right, what hasn't she done?
Everything. Nothing. Anyway, Mr. Fekelja, we are here because of lack of action to remove all of the items that caused a single family to become a triplex. The illegal dock construction has been taken care of. The rental occupation license is really unnecessary because it has been vacated. The unsanitary pool has been treated, and I do have a receipt for it. But just because it was a one-time treatment, I would expect that to come up again. The city is also clearing the lot, so everything at this point the city is doing, and nothing has been done on the illegal conversion. So the city is asking for a $100 day fine, and based on the fact that it was a triplex when I found it, I believe a max is $20,000 with a non-owner occupancy.
You said the city was clearing something.
We cleared the lot. The lot became overgrown as well, so we've already taken care of that. It was mowed last week.
There's a running fine imposed. There was an automatic fine for the pool and the unsecuring of the pool that's already been imposed.
Yes.
From the last meeting.
It's capped.
And, I don't believe it's reached its cap yet.
No.
But it's...
So, yeah, this would be...
It would be.
So this would be a request for final overall
on the
violation.
Non-compliance of the...
Non-conforming use, yes. The conversion of the single family to a triplex. We addressed the pool because of its imminent danger issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is the pool fixed?
Yes, temporarily.
It's secured and...
No.
Oh.
Yeah, the pool's been treated, but the security has not been completed. That's why we had to put the fine on.
So, if I can ask this, from the prior order, she would still be in non-compliance, even though...
Correct.
Or whoever, we put the tablets, or whoever put the tablets...
She had a contract to come out and put it in, but it's still unsecured.
Okay.
That's
so,
why we...
So that fine,
yes.
Violation is continually running as well?
Correct.
After.
Yeah. Right. This is the last one.
So we're calling this a multifamily residential property?
Yes, it has been utilized. The garage was converted into a separate apartment completely. The main structure in the front was also divided by blocking off the stairway access. Kitchen was installed in the lower, and a kitchen, bathrooms, everything was installed in the garage, which is actually supposed to be a pool room.
Okay, well, here I find myself getting ready to ask another question of our attorney with regard to this amnesty program here. I'm familiar with the provision our inspector's talking about. It says for multifamily residential and commercial properties, et cetera, the maximum fine shall be $20,000. Does that multifamily mean multifamily as it's supposed to be, or multifamily as it in fact is being utilized? Because this is supposed to be a single-family home.
Correct. But from what I understand of reading the ordinances, because it was occupied as a multifamily, all three apartments were rented, That means as I found it, it was a triplex.
That was illegal.
Correct.
Yeah, the interpretation that we've offered up in the manner in which that the inspectors are interpreting this is that the status of the property at the time when they found them in violation. And I understand with this situation, okay, the status of the property is it's zoned single family. But the true use and the violation is that it's being utilized as a multifamily. I would think that it would be proper to classify it as a multifamily from the maximum fine perspective.
So then in this instance, your opinion would be it would be multifamily?
Yes.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the use of the property at the time the violation was discovered was multifamily. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and fine the respondent the sum of $100 per day, commencing when?
The third was the complaint date.
Commencing November 3, 2010, and continuing each day thereafter until the respondent either comes into compliance or the maximum amount of $20,000 fine has been reached.
Correct, thank you.
Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any other business to be brought before his special magistrateness?
Can't think of any.
We're adjourned.